You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life there's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you had a good weekend, the holiday weekend, Resurrection Sunday and Good Friday and Thursday something. But Thursday had the Passover. Yeah, they had the Passover dinner. Yeah. We're going to talk about that. And hope you can join us. Join in that conversation. We're going to talk about that. Yep. So, hope everything is well with you. I had a good time, and I'll tell you about that in a minute. But I'm going to just go ahead and do these intro, you know. It's what I do. It's what I do, family, and I appreciate your patience in doing this, but also too, I hope that you hear something that will cause you to contact one of these people that I'm promoting, you know, giving information of, and that you either, you know, go on one of these trips, whatever, you know. Yeah. So this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to the archives at Time for an Awakening. And at the top of the page, you see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Thanks to my good brother, Brother Kwaku. That's right. That's my man. So my good brother. And so also too, and you know, you can go to babaoshi.net, whatever search engine you use, babaoshi.net, BABAOSHI.net. And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. Also too, family, you don't have to go to TuneIn, bump TuneIn. No, let me say it right. If you want to listen to a radio program anywhere in the country, around the world, go to TuneIn, you know. I mean, if you want to listen to, say, for instance, you're living here and or there, and you want to listen to programs from back here or back there, you go to TuneIn. I listen to WNOV in Milwaukee, you know. And any other station, you know, Baltimore. So, I mean, go to TuneIn. But if you want to listen to Time for an Awakening, you can go direct to timeforanawakening.com. The right side of the page, you see the link. Hit that on. So right now, you go to timeforanawakening.com, and on the right side of the page, you'll see, you know. And you click the on button, and you get this broadcast. That's right. You'll get this broadcast live. That's how that works. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. This program, once again, is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., that's Eastern Time. And we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Thursdays, from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Geronimo Pratt of the Geronimo, excuse me. Okay, family, I'm going to get it together. Brother Patrick Lumumba, he's with the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club, okay? Lord, help me. Easter hangover.
All right. That's on Thursday from 7 to 8 here on Time for an Awakening. On Friday, of course, just Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. And then on Saturday from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. And then Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Brothers and sisters, go to WeBuyBlack.com. There are many products and pressures, maybe something, you know, if we don't support it, who's going to, you know? So you can get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Taihemba, he is in Liberia and Morocco from March 29th to April 9th. Today's April 1st, so he has a few more days, and when he gets back, we will talk to him about that trip and any upcoming trips. Here are some upcoming trips that you can, trips of a lifetime that you can take advantage of. July 11th to July 23rd, Ghana. November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azinha. April 3rd through April 13th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. April 4th. Now, he has to change these dates. I saw that because he's got another Liberia-Morocco trip, but the days are kind of whack. So we can take care of that. He can take care of that when he gets back, for sure. And then May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. And November 21st to December 1st, November 21st to December 1st, Brazil. Brazil. All right, Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. That's Africa for the Africans.org. Africa for the Africans.org. All right, Habashah. HabashahIncorporated.org. Habashah stands for Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And, of course, they have a beautiful building in Ghana, the Kashi Project in Ghana. And, of course, Habashah has many programs. Habashah Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. So it was a great pleasure for me to be at their at a banquet, I guess, an awards banquet for Habashah, and seeing the brothers and sisters who are doing the work. They are doing the work. Sustainable agriculture, brothers and sisters. Habashah is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in culture education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Brothers and sisters, HabashahIncorporated.org. Go to HabashahIncorporated.org. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. Brothers and sisters, the Ledge Group deals in the four areas of human necessity, of human essential, human sensuality. That's food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. Brothers and sisters, they have 12 projects in 6 different countries, over 170 employed, over 260 members. Go online to the Ledge Group. Become a member of Ledge. Maybe there's a way that you can invest in getting land. $250 an acre. $250 an acre in Tanzania. Some people pronounce it Tanzania, it's Tanzania. So you can take advantage of that. Ledge, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. The wellness minister is in Kenya doing great work. He'll be there a while. Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the health expert, the wellness minister. Brothers and sisters, go to the wellness minister. The minister of wellness, excuse me, the minister of wellness.com. Go to the minister of wellness.com. Brother Nathaniel Jordan, you can see on his page all he has for you and for your health that you can take advantage of. The wellness minister. The minister of wellness. Smile Pharmacy. Brother Jabril and his lovely wife at Smile Pharmacy. You can give them a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. But also you can contact them through email at smifarmacy@gmail.com. That's smifarmacy@gmail.com. Smile Pharmacy. The Moses West Foundation and the great work that the Moses West Foundation is doing. The atmospheric water generator that he has developed, the atmospheric water generator, taking the H2O molecule out of the environment. It's all around us. It's all around us. And taking it and purifying it, opening up a tap, out comes clean, drinkable, usable water. There is, although family, you and I know, if you've been keeping abreast, climate change is real. There are real serious issues and problems with water because of climate change. Many reservoirs, many lakes, many rivers have dried up, but water is still there. There is no shortage of water, family. It is the access to water that's the issue. There is water. There's water all around us. And the Moses West Foundation, and Brother Moses West, is going to try his best to make sure that we get water to use, water to drink, water, because we need it. It's an essential, and it should be free. All right. The Moses West Foundation. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta, in the West End. I live right on Cascade, which Abernathy makes a northerly turn going towards MLK. And
this call may be recorded or transcribed.
Hey, Brother Kwaku, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I love you, my brother. You been doing all right?
I'm doing all right. I'm just calling to listen. I mean, I'm not, for some reason, I'm not getting the internet. But
boy, I tell you.
That's all I did is call and listen. I was a program boy.
All right. I appreciate you, man. Just hang on.
Okay. Stay here, brother. All right. Peace.
Yes, yeah, my brother Kwaku, man. Yep. So, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End, here on Ralph David Abernathy. And they have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and all kinds of good, healthy stuff for you. They do vegan dishes on Saturday and Sunday. You know, Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, t-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Man, beautiful sister. Check her out. If you are looking for a book, give her a call. 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. And if she doesn't have the book, she'll get it for you. Believe me. And she's done it. That's right. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. And if you know anything about comedic language, Medu means writing. Writing. There's the Medu Netcher, which the Greeks called hieroglyphs. The Medu Netcher. That's the sacred writing. That's right. Netcher means gods. The writing of the gods. The Medu Netcher. All right, family. Give her a call at 404-346-3263 or just go down to the Greenbrier Mall. She's right there. All right. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, east of Atlanta. Jump on the interstate to I-20 going east. Take an exit 74. Make a left. Now you're going north. In about a mile, there will be on the left. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar will be on the left. Check out my good brother, Gazimde Ajamu, and what he has done with the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Jump back in your ride, head back the other direction. Now you are headed south. And take a left again onto I-20. The next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights, make another right, and at the on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us lifting us to economic development and cooperative for our people. We have the Thursday night broadcast every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. If you want to call to listen, you can do that. But give, also, you can call to give questions, comments, or concerns by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us lifting us, the economic development cooperative for our people. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia, not open today. They're closed on Mondays, but open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Brother Bija, man, that this place is, every part of this place is covered. There's something everywhere. You got it packed in. It's a great place, brothers and sisters. He's located at 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. He has furniture, clothing, jewelry, books, CDs, DVDs, you name it, holistic health products, a vegan restaurant. That's right. You can get your grub on right there, too. Man, it's a beautiful place. Brother Abija, give him a call at 478-256-1166. That's 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, Macon, Georgia. Sun God Essential, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. Please give my sister, my good sister, Shelly Amonset, a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essence, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, Sister Gabby is doing great work in the island, on the island of Haiti, in the northeastern portion, up in the hills and so forth of the island of Haiti. Please, brothers and sisters, as you know, they're going through a lot in Haiti. And this sister is providing education, sustainable agriculture, holistic health for these young children in Haiti. Go to Sanjay, Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sonjay-Haiti.org. All right, Baba Baruti, Mama Ya, that's right, Ackerman House, Ackerman Institute, where they're educating young warriors. They deserve our support, brothers and sisters. If you want to support them, you can contact them through PayPal. You can make a contribution through PayPal, Ya, Y-A-A, Baruti, Baruti.com, or you can use Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, and then Baruti, Baruti, to make your contribution. Also, too, Ackerman House is where you can check out the many books that Baba Baruti and Mama Ya, particularly Baba Baruti, puts out on a constant basis. Man, that brother's prolific. He is. Good brother, man. Tell you. Good brother. And of course, at this time, we're going to read the Inyasasim of Daily revolutionary thought. Yeah, man. The Inyasa Sam of daily revolutionary thought. March 31st. Ours has been a tradition of resistance, so secret that even we have been unaware of it. The black man appearing so dumb that he couldn't understand a simple job the white boss explained to him. The black man always breaking his hoe. Okay, y'all, it ain't like, you know, hoe, hoe. This is a garden tool. You know what a hoe is. A garden tool, okay? He's breaking the broom, he's breaking the shovel, and claiming surprise that he'd done it. The black man shuffling, murdering the time away. The black man speaking English upside down to keep from understanding it, to block communications that would further enslave him. The black man discovering boll weevils and transplanting them from one cotton patch to another. The black man blowing snot in the white man's tapioca and pissing in the tea and the coffee and stirring spit into the roast beef and gravy and chicken gravy. Black hands hard on tiny white hands, quick on little white bottoms. That's right. Because remember, we had to babysit. Yeah, suckling too, you know. Thank you to that for John Williams, Brother John Williams. It's good when we have reached the point where nothing Urugu says or does disturbs our inner peace, because we know their invasive, disruptive nature. We know that they are compelled to effectively deceive the weak among those they have worked so diligently to destroy so they can be elevated out of the caves. In order to become the norm, they will inject their insanity into everyone else's until every tortured soul possible loses his or her mind and desires nothing greater than to become one of them. It's good when we know the truth of liars. It's good when our conceptualization of eternal enemy is thoroughly historically grounded. It's good when we have no question about our divine right to be righteously enraged. It's good when we can recognize it's a sadistic evil at the Isili level and permanently remove it from our lives. It's good when our vision embraces a full, unqualified empowerment and sovereignty of African people. Ashe. Affirm, our resistance is creatively applied. Affirm, my resistance is creatively applied. April 1st. True freedom is total submersion in and willing subjugated to the truth. Anything short of a single-minded obedience to the truth is slavery. Hence, freedom and system, order, arrangement, discipline, are all inseparable. The question then becomes whether we are really interested in struggling toward freedom or whether we are just rebelling against the present system as pawns of those forces that intend to set up a more insidious system of captivity, of enslavement. John E. Churchville. In chess, one of the most important objectives is to severely limit the opponent's options. To win, you must circumscribe your opponent's thoughts in order to manipulate their movements to your advantage. We have lost sight of this in this anti-African reality. We have become overly confused by our confinement within the artificial structures created by aspiring white supremacy. Reactively, we look to our opponent's cryptic faces and body and language for answers. We have lost sight of our power because of the few lost pieces and refuse to acknowledge the benefits of sacrifice in the constructing view of an ever-ticking clock. That's right, an ever-ticking clock. Yes, sir. As we Every ticking clock gives those clings to an amateur status, as with the underdog in any game of chess. If we want to win in this world, we must again come to define and implement for ourselves our ancestral given identity and vision. We must strategically base the movement of all our pieces on a working knowledge of our story and other historical entrapments of us. We must remember that in one move, the whole game can change. Only this way will we regain control over our options. We have studied their games long enough to see how they do what they do. It's time to apply our sovereignty-seeking genius to the board. Affirm, I obey truth. Brothers and sisters, affirm, I obey truth. Brothers and sisters, the Inya Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Ashe. Yes, sir, the Inya Sesim of daily revolutionary thought. Ah, family. Hope you enjoyed family yesterday. I know I did. I did. I enjoyed family. The meal was outstanding. My grandson, my youngest grandson, he cooked. It was good. You know, he's been doing that the last year or so and wanting to do it, and that's great. So everything went well. And the evening after, you know, we watched ball. We watched North Carolina State beat Duke. And, you know, anybody but Duke, right? I swear, man, anybody hate Duke. Anybody but Duke. And I don't know why my hatred for Duke, but it's, oh, years. In fact, I had to think about this. Duke played Kentucky in the national championship, I believe in the late 70s. And I cheered for, because I hate Kentucky too. I cheered for Kentucky. Yeah. Well, I definitely cheered for Kentucky when Tubby Smith was the coach and they played Utah, which was coached by, I believe, Rick Majerus, who used to coach Marquette. You know, but you always go for the brother, you know, or the sister, you know. But nah, some of these, my grandson, you all these teams in blue you hate. Just coincidental, man, you know. But Duke, never liked Duke. So always, and in the first half, the game was very close. I thought, okay, this game is close still. But in the second half, NC State took charge, and that big boy in the middle, and I mean literally big boy in the middle. That brother is massive, but he's agile. He moves. Oh, man. Nice little drop step, all the whole thing, man. Yeah. But it's tonight for the women. You have UConn with Paige Beckers. Yuck. And you have USC. That's one of my, USC is my favorite team of college. USC, I don't know, Southern Cal. But they have Juju Watkins, freshman of the year, Juju Watkins. So you have UConn against USC for the right to go to the Final Four next Saturday. Actually, really, their Final Four is their Saturday too. But I know it's, I think it's Friday. I think their Final Four is Friday, Sunday. Their Final Four is Friday, Sunday. The men's is Saturday, Monday. Saturday, Monday. And so the other game, whew, a replay of last year's championship game between LSU and Iowa. Yeah, LSU and Iowa. My girl Flage has been killing. Flage is trained by Brother Rob Riley, who also trains my grandson. And when she was in high school a couple years ago, my grandson, they would play one-on-one and stuff like that with Sister Flage, who was an accomplished rap artist. Yeah, she is. Yeah, in fact, when she went to the McDonald's All-American game, she did a rap at the beginning of the game. Oh, man, it's cold. Yeah, Sister Flage. And she's having it. So I'm hoping that she continues her great play along with Angel Reese and all the other sisters on LSU. You know, I think they got a sister or two on Iowa. But it's Caitlin Clark, man. Caitlin Clark is, she cold. I mean, you know, that's one thing about me, family. Even if I hate the person, I give credit where credit is due. Always. I give Larry Bird his, like, you know. I mean, give credit where credit is due. Even and my grandson says I don't because he likes Luka Doncic. I don't like the little fat-ass Luka Doncic. But I gotta bet with my grandson that I hope never happens. If Luka Doncic wins the MVP of the league, I gotta pay my grandson $100. Man, that just can't happen. Shoot. Please. Anyway, so that's the thing tonight and that game last year, considering, I know there's 300 million people in the U.S., but they had over 10 million viewers for the championship game last year. I bet that'll be probably double for this game tonight. For LSU and Iowa. And plus they got Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins. Oh, yeah. Well, the first game is LSU and Iowa. LSU, Iowa. And then the second game is Juju Watkins and Paige Beckers. UConn, USC, and LSU, Louisiana State University. Louisiana State University against Iowa of the Big Ten. But you know what? You know what? It's March Madness. I know it's April 1st, but it's still March Madness, and that ain't no April Fool. That ain't no April Fool. It's still March Madness. In fact, they've been playing the championships in April for years now. Not because they had kept expanding the field. So the women are 64 teams. The men are 64 teams. And plus, they still have this week the NIT championships will be played in Madison Square Garden. I'm not sure who the teams are, but we'll see. But March Madness is a stirring reminder. It really is a stirring reminder of what America was founded on. And what is that? White folks making tons of money. I mean tons of money. Off the unpaid labor of us. And I know some of the players have been able to take advantage of name, image, and likeness. In fact, I've seen two or three commercials with Flage in it. I've seen the commercial they had last year with Flage and Angel Reese, you know. And so I understand, and that's good for her and good for all the other players who are able to do that. But not everyone is able to do that. But everyone contributes to these folks making all this money as a team. As a team. Name, image, and likeness speaks to the individual. And believe me, millions are made. And that's how it is. So I hope you enjoyed the games. And hope that too. That you tune in tonight for sure. Holidays. I've talked about holidays on this program a number of times. Talked about Ishaka Musa, Barashango, a brother who I am proud to share a birth date with, April 27th. He has been an ancestor for quite a few years. I wish he had some more shorter presentations on YouTube, but you can go to YouTube and listen to Ishaka Musa, Barashango. And, you know, his thing against holidays. We should not be celebrating. And you know that's right. But unfortunately, we do. These European holidays. And then sometimes when holidays happen, you got to ask some questions. How did that happen? And why is it like that? You know? I mean, you know, I'm on this radio program right now. And I'm talking to you. You're listening, I hope. I'm glad that you are. I really thank you for that. I really do. For all those brothers and sisters who tune into this program. But there was a silence. And the silence was very prolonged because I passed out. Or I checked out. And then years from now, I said, yeah, man, I remember this brother Oshie, Baba Oshie, radio program. The dude, it was April Fool's Day, you know what I'm saying? And I thought it was an April Fool-ass joke, you know, but the brother just, April Fool, yeah, what was that? What year was that? 2024, yeah. Remember that, you know? So a date like that, when something significant happens, you remember the date and the year, you know? Supposedly, you remember the date of Jesus' birth. But of course, that date itself, December 25th, is a date shared by many men who, maybe even women, who are gods, you know, from the celestial body, you know. So that date, December 25th, shared by many others, supposedly, you know. Other dates of significant events, you remember, holidays and so forth. Now, I understand maybe that, you know, when a date happened thousands of years ago, but the ancient Kemetic people, they had a calendar, okay? The Kemetic calendar. Now, we know in our, at least I would say most of us who are in tune know that this is not 2024. There are other calendars now. This is the Gregorian and the Julian calendar that we come under. It is a solar calendar. The Muslims, their calendar, along with the Hebrew, their calendars are lunar, moon calendars, you know? And so it's a difference. It's a difference in time. It's shorter. That's why sometimes they had to do a lot of changing of the dates and so forth.
you know. So, but if you can get a date, because, I mean, if you are looking for and at some of the leaders or some of the pharaohs or kings of ancient Kemet, they'll give you the year. They'll say it's 2025 to 20. So the numbers go up. Yeah. Yeah. Or they go down, rather, excuse me. So they can meet the date that the Europeans have set. And a lot of this was done at the Nicene Conference. The Nicene Conference of 325 under Emperor Constantine. He set a lot of the Easter stuff, a lot of the Christmas stuff, December 25th. He did that, or the council did that, but it was under his leadership. They did that. That's why, to me, any and everything can be changed. You know? If you want to change it. But, of course, they have Easter changing. Of course, Easter also, Ishtar. So they, even the name, they didn't change that. They kept that because Rome is pagan. And they always incorporated pagan concepts and traditions into the Christian or into the religious observance. So more people would be observing them because they had these other concepts. And so Easter, instead of an exact date, because they had the opportunity to do this, family, especially then, especially when Rome was occupying all of that region. And so they could have set that date if Jesus had existed. And Jesus rode into the Sunday before Easter, Palm Sunday, on an ass. You know, did what he did that whole week, threw the money changers out of the synagogue, just raising hell, you know, right on. You know, had the dinner on Thursday, the Last Supper. After the dinner is over, Judas, the Roman people, said, "Hey, man, who is this, you know, Messiah?" Okay, you say you're going, and they sold him, what, 30 pieces of silver? And, you know, you just give him a kiss so we know who it is. And once that happened, they arrested him. Then Friday, now supposedly it was early in the morning, they just, you know, beating the hell out. Even in Clarence, and I suggest you go check out, you know, if you can, if it's on your service or whatever, the Book of Clarence, the Keith Stanfield. It's interesting. All dark-skinned people in that area, as it was at the time, let's be real. And, of course, the Caucasians, Romans, coming in there to try to, you know, impose their will. I tell you, man, you just... because of how Caucasians are, you just be like, damn. And so, of course, you know, they kill him. They crucify him. Because they, you know, the Europeans always wanted to just give a sign that we are not to be messed with. Anything that we say, you better do. You better do, because otherwise you will end up like this. So, Easter was the death they found out and he tried him and very quickly. So they killed him on that Friday. Supposedly he was, you know, in the tomb for 3 days. Now, of course, if they killed him on Friday and then they buried him on Friday, but then the only full day that he was there was Saturday, because supposedly he rose on Sunday, sunrise service. You know, but listen, family, you can make up shit as you go. And if it's accepted, it'll be accepted. And that's part of the acceptance, you know. It's just like Passover. And the reason why, family, that they didn't set a date of Jesus' death was because of Passover. He was coming into Jerusalem because of Passover. And what is Passover? Passover is, as I said to you last week, the Exodus did not happen. There was a conference to debate and discuss. Did this actually happen? No, it did not. But the Passover was that when Moses told, and yes, family, I did watch some of the Ten Commandments again. But you know, I tell you, you know, because of the digitizing of these films, the colors are just as vivid. And you have a good television, man. It's just, anyway, because that's what it was. That's just showing the beauty of what we are and who we are. It was just that grand. So anyway, the Passover is the fact that Moses told Pharaoh, he said, whatever you do, because this is the ninth plague, whatever. You already had all the other stuff, the hail, the boils, and the blood, you know, turning the Nile red and all that kind of stuff. So this was death. This was death. And he said, I'm going to kill the firstborn. Of, you know, they've done that before. You've probably read that. I'm going to kill the firstborn. And what Moses said, anything that you say you're going to do, it will be done to you. It's going to be done to you by your own hand. And so he said he's going to kill the firstborn. Well, it was the firstborn of Pharaoh's house. Not the Hebrews. They did a Passover. They stayed inside and put lamb's blood on entrances so you can block it. So death can pass over. Yeah. Indeed. And just some of the traditions of unleavened bread and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah. You know. So the fact that it didn't happen. You can create stuff, family, as you know. You can create it, and if you have the ability to say, this is what it is, and this is what I say that it is, it will not be denied. It will go on for years, decades, centuries, millennials, and it will be that. It will be that. Even though today, like I said, that conference to talk about the Exodus happened in the 70s or 80s. Might have been 80s. It didn't happen. But yet, because they say that it is true, is true because they say it. I'm going to take a break. We come back from break, join the conversation. We'll talk about more about the Passover, more about Easter, how that came about, Easter, and the importance of Easter, you know. So, yeah. Easter. Yeah, and all the other holidays. I mean, they, you know, like I said, you could, excuse me, family, you can make stuff up. You know, you can make stuff up. And if you have the power and you have the ability to repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, it becomes self-fulfilling. It becomes a prophecy. It becomes real. You know, even though you made it up. Yep. So. Yes, okay. Yeah. We'll be right back, brothers and sisters. You stay with us. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Travis.
You are listening to Time For an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Jaheim and Letticy, stay together. And, of course, Jaheim. Ride. Diamonds in the back with the windows cracked. We ride. I love it. Don't you? I do. Love it.
Brother Kwaku, I need that song, man. Kwaku's Groove, brother. I need you to find a way I can get that so I can play that on this program, because believe me, the listeners will enjoy it. I know this. And you know this, man. So I need to get that from you, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you, man. Yeah. So getting back to what we're talking about here. Yeah. Ah, okay. Yes, Mama Nabantu. Save this day. The Pan African is hosting a town hall meeting April 27th. Oh, it's my birthday. That's right. Hands off Haiti. First African. First African Church. That's right. Hands off Haiti. Panel to be determined. And that's from 3 to 5. From 3 to 5. Hands off Haiti. Yeah. Because Haiti's got... Haiti has that vibranium. I think it's iridium. Iridium. They're one of the only two places that has it. I think them in South Africa. You know, they have mineral wealth. What they don't have is leadership and some direction, man, I tell you. Damn, y'all. Yeah. So, Passover. Yeah. In fact, there was a movie called I know there's a book, The Passover Plot, which, of course, is how the European Jews, the Ashkenazi, control and dominate information and slant it in their direction. You know, it's just like how they got Palestine. Now, if you checked out the news, there was a big demonstration against Netanyahu in Israel by Israelis. Whether that's going to do something or not, I don't know. You know, whether that's going to do something. But I tell you, all these things, Ramadan. Now, of course, Ramadan is lunar. That's a lunar calendar, and it's 11 or so days before the solar calendar. That's why Ramadan is constantly in different times of the year. Well, I'm quite sure for those who are dealing with Ramadan, this ain't a good time. Because, man, you know, from sun up to sundown. The sun is up around about 5:30, no, you know, maybe 5:30, definitely up at 6. The sun doesn't go down until 8:30. So it's a long time without food and water. You know, but there are special things. I mean, if you have illness, you can. If you're a Muslim, if you have an illness, I believe that you can do that. If somebody who's a Muslim or somebody who knows what I'm talking about, you know, because I don't know everything. That's, you know, y'all know that. But what I try to do is provide information, so you know that we become knowledgeable of the things that happen around us and why they happen and if something is factual or not. You know, so somebody said it's factual because I said so. It's because I say so. You know, it ain't got to be true. It's true because I say so. So, you know, because the Islamic calendar, of course, Islam didn't come on the scene until the 7th century, 600s. And, of course, it did. It took off. It spread all throughout that region into North Africa. And then up into the Iberian Peninsula, the Moors. These are melanated men and women who occupied the Iberian Peninsula, what is now today Portugal and Spain. They were the only light that was happening in Europe, because Europe was in a medieval or dark age. No learning. Poor land, poor resource, poor. And then after 700 years, 7-Eleven. Thank God for 7-Eleven. Yeah. Then they had their so-called awakening. Martel and Charlemagne and so forth. Kicked the Moors out of Spain. They also kicked the Sephardic Jews out of Spain. Also kicked the Sephardic Jews out of Spain. Yeah. Because in Islamic countries, check this out, they did not allow usury. You know what usury is. So I can't lend you money and have you pay an interest. So I'm lending you $500, and I pay and I charge you an interest, maybe $50. That's 10%. $50 to maybe 20%, maybe $100 for me to loan you that amount of money. They felt that was wrong. And that's, of course, what the European Jews were constantly doing. That's how they became very wealthy. They were the money people. And so they were kicked out of Spain as well. Yeah, those were the Sephardic Jews. It's Falsaf, Sephardic, and Ashkenazi. The Ashkenazi are the European Jews who dominate and control Judaism to this day. If you got Atlantis, let me catch a caller here. Brother Lusk, how you doing, my friend?
Morning, Brother Oshie. How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right. Look, I just wanted to chime in and just kind of give you a little idea, basically, on this new venture that's been started here. Now, technically, I have not visited. I had plans to go on Wednesday, but you can only do so much at a lunchtime. And this weekend really was dedicated to house and home more so than anything else.
I hear you, brother. You got to take care of house and home.
That's right. And so I wanted to at least give a brief idea about what has transpired here in Montgomery since March 27th. Which was the opening date of this new sculpture park that has been created here in Montgomery, Alabama.
Right on.
It's almost like, I guess, the phase three. You already have the Peace and Memorial Garden, Peace and Victory Garden, and then you have the Legacy Museum. And now here's the third rung in the ladder with regards to this sculpture park. Of course, there's, you know, in this age of inquiry, you know, those questions of who, what, when, where, how, why, for what, right? Mm-hmm. And even a new question, by whose standards are we operating by, right?
Right.
So this is another mechanism by which stories have been told of enslavement of the African and the human. And so it also covers, I understand, information regarding the indigenous people that was once here way before Europeans ever landed. And so it's just so much that has transpired here to give one an idea, to immerse them of sorts into what had happened. Now, from our perspective, all of those museums, I mean, whether it's the International Museum from in South Carolina, right, or the Emmett Till Museum in Mississippi, or other places that Black museums have come about, there's one question that has been eluding me, personally. And thank you for allowing me this opportunity to speak.
Oh, for sure, my brother.
In that, Bubba Oshie, how did those people do it? How did our ancestors survive the very next day after? And so I think about, there's a whipping pole, I understand, that's there. And it's a nice artifact to kind of display, I guess, and the way human beings were chained up, et cetera. But, you know, all of the artifacts I have yet to see is that of a bullwhip.
Okay.
I've never come across a bullwhip for some strange reason or another. Now, I understand I came across a sister who says she has one, but she's all the way out in Texas. But I'm saying, I just wanted to share this. And this is a Wikipedia find, but it's going to allude to something. It says a bullwhip is a single-tailed whip, usually made of braided leather or nylon, designed as a tool for working with livestock or competition. So keep that in mind now. All right. Bullwhips are pastoral tools traditionally used to control livestock in open country. A bullwhip's length, flexibility, and tapered design allows it to be thrown in such a way that toward the end of the throw, part of the whip exceeds the speed of sound. Keep what I'm sharing here in mind, thereby creating a small sonic boom.
Right, the cracker.
The bullwhip, bullwhip is rarely, if ever, used to strike cattle, as this could inflict damage to the animal. You listening to what I'm reading now?
Yes.
The bullwhip should not be confused with the stock whip, an Australian whip also used to control livestock, but having a somewhat different structure. The cracking sound is of a sonic boom. This is most likely the first item used by humans to go faster than the speed of sound. My question that has been plaguing me this weekend is how did, you know, you have the iconic picture of the melanated man who had been whipped so many times.
Yes.
It shows the skin.
Yes.
And everything. It's an iconic picture, right?
Yes.
And so I see pictures like that. And of course the different images that have been created. And of course, by the way, you have artistries from across the world, basically, who have submitted their artwork to this place, from what I understand. And so, I mean, I've already been to the Legacy Museum, and I understand that the same artist, the sculptor there, also dedicated some things to this sculptor part. But it still has to beg the question, how? How did they do it? How did you get whipped? Okay. Surely, we weren't considered human. We
right.
were considered animal.
Right. So you
but
can easily do that.
Without, right.
You could easily do that without conscience. Feel no remorse about it, you know?
Hello. And so the mindset of an individual to use an item like that across another individual, you can't be in your right mind. You really just cannot be. And so to see the damage that it can physically cause. And so all of these stories that have compounded through the different museums that have been created, the different art pieces that have been submitted, et cetera, yes, it tells a story. But for me, I had been pondering the question, how did they survive? How could it – and sometimes I wonder and imagine myself, oh, God, I mean – to get hit with a bullwhip, I'm dead right there on the spot, right? And to have that sonic boom pop against your flesh. And so it's just amazing how, even though these different pieces are starting to surface itself, but I still have to go back to that how question, that inquiry, okay, that asking that question, how did they do it? other questions that I came up with was, okay, we're the day after Easter, right? And everyone says that he lives, right? And he's here, right? Well, sure, that happened on quote unquote Easter Sunday morning, but what about the day after? Hmm. What happens when the newness, N-E-W-N-E-S-S, is gone? And so I just kind of wonder, though, I just can't wait to, I'm sure that this is a facility that millions of dollars has been used to create it, like all the other pieces here in Montgomery, Alabama. And by the way, the star of tourism is shining even brighter from the kinds and types of work that Attorney Brian Stevenson has produced now. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
It's just, yeah. There are some questions that still linger, okay, in telling these stories. And how did they survive? Now, one of the other interesting pieces that has been created, he created a wall that has something like over 100,000 surnames.
Right.
And so you're able to track your genealogy, right, from these. But now that the, I think it's the 1870 census has now been digitized, right? And so you have access to all of this information right before you, right? And so I have no problem with that. For my last name, I mean, I'm in the pickle because I don't think anybody has a last name like mine, but I've lived with it for some 50 plus some odd years.
Right, right.
Never really thought to dive into it, but just the simple idea of how African, enslaved African, not slaves, enslaved Africans.
I say.
Were brought here to build this country. And Montgomery is just like any other city in this contiguous United States and abroad, right? To have been brought over a huge body of water, made to build that area. And so here we are some thousands of years later, and we have the stories, but then there are other questions that I think really needs to be asked and answered, mm-hmm. I think, just my opinion.
Right on. Yeah, they do. And it begs for us, and it begs for our scholars, you know, to do that. And I applaud Brother Stevenson for producing the memorial, the museum, now the new artifacts that are there in Montgomery. You know, that's going to be a place to go. And I hope that people come and check it out and stay, you know, overnight and so forth, because there's a lot to see.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's not an hour deal either. I guarantee you that. 1 hour is absolutely not enough time. Mm-hmm. To absorb all of the culture that has been created through artwork, right? And you have something in the neighborhood like, what, somewhere in the area of 50 somewhat sculptors and artists submitting all kinds of different works. And so I just can't wait to get out there, I'm sure. Yeah. But just Google things and you could actually see some of the pieces that have been created and submitted. And then makes you think, right, about what it was like, right? But I said, out of all of the places that I've gone with regards to Black museums or museums with an African/African-American a nature to it, I've yet to see a bullwhip. Maybe I must be in the wrong spot. Mm-hmm. And so that bullwhip, just that item in and of itself, something used to control livestock, used on the backs of human beings.
Yeah. Like I said, that's where you got that, supposedly where you got the word calling the European, the Caucasian, the Urugu, the cracker. Because he cracked that whip.
Yes. Yes.
That's how you call him the cracker. You know.
That's right.
You know, so I mean, it, once again, today even, the European does not consider us human, even though years have passed, achievements have been recognized. We have been doing this, that, and the other. But still, there's that resentment. And I always look at it, Brother Lusk, as part of the Europeans' evolutionary development. You know, he developed in an icebox. He developed in a situation where, you know, it's so hard and so harsh. It's, and you know, you've always, that's why they've always had that survival of the fittest mentality, you know. The top, if I can rise to the top, I'm king of the hill, you know. Yeah. And as opposed to giving and sharing and so forth, it's just like in the relationship between men and women. When you have an environment that harsh, even though the warmth of a body is needed, but their mindset was, you know, that's somebody who's competing. So
yeah,
for limited resources. So they didn't respect women in that way at all. You know, that's why relationships with them at the time were so, you know, contentious, because they didn't.
Yeah.
You know, and but yet for us, it was always a complementarity. We didn't kick women to the curb. We didn't relegate them, you know, just as an object. You know, we understood that the woman is just as important and vital to our development as human beings and to our society as men.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So,
yes.
So that was a, you know.
Thank you for taking my call. I'll continue to listen. I'm interested in seeing what others may have their thoughts on with regards to this sculpted park that they may have come across through their readings, or it's been broadcast on every network.
CBS
News and Lester Holt Nightly News.
Yeah, I saw the Lester Holt piece. He's the one that found his name on the wall.
Yes, yeah, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
So, but above and beyond it all, how did they do it? How did those enslaved Africans hang on for so long, right? Thus, because we stand on their shoulders. We stand
on the
shoulders. And their names are the names that need to continuously be called at all of our libation exercises and remembrances, and of which I'll keep you in touch with our Maafa commemoration in July as the time draws near.
Okay. So, yeah.
Thank you.
That so we can talk about it. I may see you in Montgomery, man. Yeah.
Hope if all goes well.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you.
All right.
Asante sana.
Asante sana, dear brother. Peace to you. Thank you, brother. Brother Ted Lusk, I tell you, I really appreciate this brother. And if we can talk about what's happening there and be a part of it, I would love to go to Montgomery, maybe, hopefully, me and Kwaku. And maybe Irv. Maybe Irv might shoot through and the three of us will come and be a part of that commemoration. That commemoration. Because, you know, it was tough for us to do it. Especially when you have a people who have you subjugated, who have you entrapped, imprisoned, you know, and your environment is not conducive. Although you made a way out of no way, and that's part of our resilience. And I love us for that, you know. And I know that over a long period of time, you don't have memory anymore, you know? You lose memory. And so, for many of us, once it was over, it wasn't like, well, let's go back home. let's reconnect. We had lost that connection. And then many people on the continent as well as in the diaspora were mindset is like, well, that's them. I ain't, in fact, some of us, nah, I ain't that no more. I ain't African. I'm black. No, I ain't African. I'm colored. Because if you know anything, I don't know, I'm over 70. So I remember when somebody did not want to be called black. And then I remember when it was cool to be black, you see. No, there's such a negative connotation. Being black was just like being a nigger, you know. To be black. And of course, if you can remember the things we've done and still do, family. Bleaching cream. Still today. Still at this moment. Billions of dollars on bleaching cream. I try to find out how, but to me it's logical. More money spent on bleaching cream than suntan lotion. Okay? Much more. Caucasians spend money on suntan lotion. You know. And there's not... In the world, there's not more Caucasians than people who are melanated. A lot more people who are melanated than it is Caucasians. And the people who are melanated, obviously some of them don't want to be melanated. They're willing to risk chemical damage to their skin. I was looking at this online about Nigeria and a wedding party in Nigeria, and I was like saying to myself, damn, how did they get all these sisters? No brothers, you know, all the brothers were melanated, some deeply, you know, but all the sisters, all of them light skin. How did that happen? You know, 7-8 females and 7-8 brothers in the party. How did that happen? You know. Yeah. Yeah. I hate the fact that what they have done to us is detrimental to us so deeply, psychologically and emotionally. You hate yourself. You hate your. You hate the texture of your hair. You hate color of your skin. You hate, you know, you hate your very essence, every part of your being. You hate. I always love to listen to Malik El Shabazz, Brother Omar Wally, Malcolm. Who taught you? Who taught you? And we need to ask ourselves that again. Who taught you this? Because we are sick with it. Who taught you to hate your hair? Hate your nose? Hate your lips? Hate your skin? Who taught you? And believe me, we do. We wouldn't be trying hard. Once again, I'm like anybody, I guess, that would love to be young, but I'm glad I'm the age I am. I'm glad I seen the things I've seen. I'm glad I experienced what I experienced. Don't remember too much of the 50s because I was born in the 50s, but I was born in the early 50s, so I do remember the latter part of the 50s. I do remember processes when everybody had a if your ass was in entertainment, you had a process, okay? You know, and Nat King Cole hung on to his, you know, Fast Domino. Y'all about had a process. They slicked their hair, conked their hair, you know? So I also seen the transformation of the 60s, particularly the latter part of the 60s. Because the early part of the 60s, early 60s was still, you know. But the latter part of the 60s, there was an embracing. Because didn't James Brown say a lot on Black and Proud came out in the late 60s? Yeah, I believe so. You know, we started saying that. You know, I'm black, I'm proud. We started to embrace that. We started to call each other brothers and sisters. You know, I just wish we would have embraced Pan-Africanism at the time. I wish we had embraced Pan-Africanism at the time and got brothers and sisters on the continent to embrace it with us. Brothers and sisters in the diaspora to embrace it. And we all work towards it. One Africa. At the awakening. Let me tell you what's interesting about that family. The emerging leadership did that. They talked about it. They talked about, I read all the time to you about what Kwame Nkrumah said. Patrice Lumumba said this. They understood it wasn't just about a country in Africa. It wasn't about 54 different sovereign, my ass, countries in Africa. It was about coming together of Africa has one, respecting whatever cultural traditions that you had, but you never put anything over being African. Yeah, you may be Igbo. Yeah, you may be Hausa. Yeah, you may be this. You may be that. You may be Nigerian. You may be a Cameroonian. You may, but you don't put that over being African. That is the ultimate. And we strive to be African, to work together, to maintain our land, our resources, to develop. So I saw this piece. This guy was interviewing, I don't know if he was Saudi, Kuwaiti, I don't know, and I don't care. But what he was saying, you know, well, we have better leadership. That's why we could build and create things in the desert. Well, you had oil. Well, the point he was making was Nigeria had oil. Nigeria had oil. Other parts of Africa had resources. But you still poor. Not us. We are rich. We have to go get some help so people can clean up after us. Mop floors, and so people can do construction. We rich. I don't know. I saw this thing on Saturday. I mean, they're so ridiculously rich. You know, some of the stuff that they have, cars and so forth. You know, the oases that they build, pumping water into the desert to create these little islands. In on Africa is just, but see, you haven't been colonized. They didn't colonize y'all. In fact, at the time that you discovered what happened in that part of the world, that was last century. And that was in the middle of the last century. When colonization was being frowned upon, when we were breaking from colonization, from Europeans' dominance. Yeah. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. A number of you in the queue, if you got something to talk about, something to say, hit star twice. Hit star twice. You know, I did talk about you know, these holidays, you know, and what happens, how it happens, why it happens, because it just, that interests me a long time ago, though, family, is that why isn't this day? You know, and I try to give that example that I'm on the radio, the day's just April 1st, and I, you know, die. And you can say, on that day. Well, they had the ability to give a date even back at that time. But you can't give a date because they even had the ability to do it back when they had the Passover. But the Passover, being a Jewish observance, because they could have gave that date then. So it moves. And the Passover, you know, feast, the Seder and all that kind of stuff, all this shit moves. You know, things that they can eat and things they cannot eat, you know, for the European Jews who dominate and control Judaism. And I'm quite sure many things that happen now is because of what they have brought into it. Some of the old traditions may already be kicked to the curb. I don't know. And if you know, let us know. You know. But yeah. And I'm looking forward to looking at these museums and these observances in Montgomery. I've been to, you know, the museum and the commemoration where you see the hanging chimes, the big rusted hanging chimes, and the information that it has about who on there, who was lynched, where, you know, the hangings, the lynchings. You know, sometimes they just did shit for fun, or they just wanted an excuse. Give me an excuse. Give me an opening so I can just go out here and just beat the hell out of some niggers. You know. I mean, yeah, we felt good about Jack Johnson with his white woman or white girlfriend ass. But we felt good about Jack Johnson. But not the brother who, you know, who had to deal with the fact that when Jack Johnson won, Crackers was mad. And they can't beat up Jack Johnson, but your ass walking down the road, yeah, they're going to whoop your ass. They'll probably kill you. They'll probably kill you. Of course that happened. And so even though we're listening on the radio, we're all gathered around the radio, and he, you know. Well, of course, when Joe Louis, that was later, that was in the 40s, when Joe Louis. In fact, there was no chance, there was not one chance of an African, American, African, whatever, gaining the heavyweight title after what happened with Jack Johnson. Just like with Jackie Robinson. Joe Louis, you know, can't be with no white women. Beautiful woman at his side. Joe Louis is clean cut, you know. Didn't brag, didn't boast, didn't make fun of Caucasians, didn't play, you know, just took care of his business, you know. Yeah, but hey, for some of them cats, wasn't going to happen. We're not going to get a chance to be the heavyweight champion or any other kind of champion. So, yeah. So anyway, I'm going to, got 10 minutes, family. Anybody, there's a number of you in the queue, so if you want to hit star twice, if we can have conversation, hit star twice, you know what to do. Give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, my brother is going to call. Hey, what's up, my brother? How you doing, Brother Paul?
OG, you know, I'm doing absolutely well.
How was your weekend, man?
Brother, weekend time I use for just reflection, man. Just time to catch up and reflect, really. That's it, really. And
I
would love to tell a more exciting story than that, but
yeah,
that's my reality, to be honest with you. And I'm not disappointed with it. You know, sometimes you just need to reflect,
sure,
and detoxify from the systematic toxins and the indoctrination you're constantly surrounded by.
Right, you're consistently bombarded with 24/7, 365. Consistently,
yeah.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. So I use that time to reprogram my mind, mm-hmm. so I can hold on to some sanity.
Yes, sir. I got you. You know it. You know
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting though, Baba Ochi. I'm part of some. I met a brother outside a boxing gym, yeah, and they're doing some incredible work with young people through boxing, yeah.
Good.
But I engage, you know, anyone I come into contact with, I try and engage with them to find out what they're about, you know what I mean, to share some thoughts. And this particular brother, he's well into the Christian ideology, yeah.
Okay.
So I engage with him a little while. Anyway, he put me on a group because he says to me that, oh, you know, this group he's in or he's created, WhatsApp group, it has, you know, people with some really good information on Christianity and Islam, yeah? So anyway, he's put me on this group. So 24/7, this thing is going off, you know what I mean? It's like these people don't sleep, man, all night. They're at each other, you know what I mean?
What debating ideology and
oh my God, man. I just look at it. I can't look at it for more than 10 minutes. I look at it, right? And it's like they're posting sections of the Quran. They're posting sections of the Bible.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. 24/7. It's crazy.
Man.
So anyway, it's on silent. You know what I mean? I put it on silent so I don't hear it. But when you turn on your phone, but it's, you know what's interesting, right? I didn't interact for a little while, yeah? So I thought, you know what? I ain't got time for all this. I've passed the back and forth stage, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not really into, I'll be honest with you. I have to be honest with you. I'm not into no debating, no religious theology anymore. I'm past that.
Right.
I don't engage with that at all. If someone starts that, I just walk off. I'm not interested in that really. I listen, I just out of courtesy and respect, but I'm not even engaging it because I feel I've passed that. You
right.
know what I mean? I know I've done enough. Yeah. So anyway, mm-hmm. so I start posting some stuff on there about Afrocentrism, mm-hmm. and some what I would refer to as real stuff. You understand? So obviously it was interesting because it kind of shut down for like the post kind of shut down for a little while because they're thinking, who the hell is this? So you know, what one brother comes out with, oh, it's not about color. But no, I haven't printed anything about color. You know, I've just printed some stuff about Africa and what Africans are about and what Africans are about around the world and something what's happened to us. So, you know, it's interesting the behavior from other Africans, because obviously there's other different groups on that group, different races, yeah? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So they start trying to defend the system and whiteness. You understand?
Yeah.
And I found that interesting because I've not said nothing about anybody. I've just put some African stuff, some stuff I know is factual. And it's interesting how we're programmed just to attack it on behalf of the system, mm-hmm. in behalf of our indoctrination.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But the reality is, as you well know, I've got enough material to counter anything they suggest. So I said, let me give them a little run. And by the time I finished them, that night, there was no pinging. There was no pinging in that group. Okay. No religious pinging in that group whatsoever. You see, one thing I've come to the conclusion, you can't beat truth with hocus pocus and fairy tales, mythology, right. and allegories.
Allegories,
you can't
exactly.
beat truth. Mm-hmm. You can't beat truth. Truth is truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. when I look in the mirror, I see truth. You understand? Mm-hmm. And I am that truth. So I am that. You understand? And so
right.
the reality of it is that it's interesting when you engage with that, with truth,
right.
how it can shut down. And mm-hmm. that truth is just about reality. About mm-hmm. you know what's happening to us and why we're in this position.
Right.
You talked about Saudi Arabia. You know, Saudi Arabia, the whole regime in Saudi Arabia was put there by the British. You
right.
know that, don't you?
Right. Yes. Yes. Ibn Saud and them. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They established that regime, and they established that regime for the purpose of. Controlling the oil supply,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean, and you know, and the reality of it is that all these different groups and so-called countries, which are really corporations, have come together at a table and decided that they need to rob Africa, and they need to keep Africa in its mm-hmm. position, and really, that is the reason why we are in this position, because. Most of us who have become the victims of this onslaught don't even realize that we are the active participants in keeping the situation as it is.
Yeah,
we've got no real recognition of that. In actual fact, if you highlight that, you will get so much of an argument or opposition as if you're talking some fallacy. But look at the situation in Israel. I'll give you an example. I mean. We in here in the UK, the biggest argument now, you know, I hear it on the radio. People are realizing the hypocrisy. You hear these politicians talking about, Israel should defend itself.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they're supplying Israel with the arms.
Right.
They're exactly. supplying Israel. And now they're under pressure.
That's America. America supplied Israel. Every armament that it has. And
so is Britain, by the way. So is Britain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so is Britain, right? But people, the interesting thing is when you listen to the local radio station, the mainstream radio station, people are waking up to the hypocrisy. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are waking up to the hypocrisy and challenging the politicians and their deceitful, two-handed affairs, you know, people are actually seeing it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the seams are falling apart. You know, you hear it. You hear people say, "Well, you know, there's going to be an election soon," and people are saying that the Conservatives are in power. The Labour Party,
mm-hmm.
Run by a man called Keir Starmer. By the way, his wife is a dual citizenship, is Israeli. Mm-hmm. He would not call for... Now, this is a man who represents the working people. He would not call for a ceasefire,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Let me say this, Paul, because in actuality, even though there was a big demonstration in Israel over this past weekend, calling for Bibi Netanyahu's ouster, but more importantly, a ceasefire, you know? And that was interesting because basically, majority of the people, from my understanding, they want Hamas eradicated. They want them out of Israel. Whether that leaves some Palestinians left, I don't know. But it seems like Hamas and Palestinians, one and the same, and they want them all out. They want to secure that land to be Israel, no longer Palestine. And it seems to me they don't want to come up with a solution where there's another state within the state of Israel. That's my contention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's an appalling affair. It's an absolutely diabolical and appalling affair. And I think the difference is, I mean, there are situations like in Sudan, in you know, which are appalling as well. But I think the difference with this is you're seeing it live.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? You're seeing the atrocities
right before your eyes. You're looking at genocide on a daily basis in actual time, right in front of your face.
And it's a wake-up call, Baba Ochi, because for me personally, right, I'm saying to myself, if these people who we overstand control so much, you know, about a guy came on, Uri Geller. You know this character, Uri Geller?
Yeah, Uri Geller. I remember Uri Geller. He used to bend shit, bend spoons and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he. I think he made a fundamental mistake, you know. He came on the radio yesterday, yeah?
Okay.
And he's upset. He's upset because... In the UK, they've got something called the European Song Contest, where all these European different groups get together and have this crazy musical madness. You know, it's nonsense, really, but they all compete against each other for this musical talent sort of nonsense. And they're saying in this country that they should ban Israel, and Israel should be banned, yeah? Mm-hmm. And he's upset about that. So he came on the radio, and some of the things he said just confirmed so much. He's saying, if you ban Israel, right, you know, you're talking about banning, like the securing airports. He's telling you about you're banning these applications on mobile phones. He went for a whole list. But what it highlighted, right, is how much these people are, you know, phones and financial systems. He just blew it all up. You know what I mean? He said that out of rage. But the reality, if anybody's paying attention, it just goes to show these crazy people are willing to kill people and commit to genocide for the whole world to see, have got so much control over our technology. And that's a problem, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a real problem. And I think people need to wake up to really what's going on. Because these people, they're some devil people. Wicked and devilish.
Evil peoples, man, I'm telling you.
I know you haven't got a lot of time, Baba Ochi, so I'm going to rest it there.
All right, dear brother. Appreciate you, man. All right, Brother Paul, have a good day.
All right. You too.
All right, peace.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, thank you. Thank you all to all who called and to share some information or just listened. I appreciate you listening. Appreciate you being there. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and ain't showing hell, damn it, don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodie, a Bibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. Hope to see you on Wednesday. Peace, family.